Amen. All right, now James chapter 2 is the chapter where if you try to show somebody that salvation is by grace through faith, you can show them scores of verses. Go to John chapter number 3. Immediately, you will hear this repeated. You'll show them salvation is by grace through faith. And then the next thing out of their mouth, you can show them salvation is by grace, not of works, all this type of stuff. And the next thing out of their mouth is going to be, well, what about James chapter 2? And that's what the sermon's called. It's called, what about James 2? Now, go to John chapter number 3. I'm going to show you a whole parade of verses, starting from the book of John, going all the way through the New Testament. If you start reading in the book of Matthew, and you're reading through the New Testament, you're gonna go verse after verse after verse after verse that are talking about salvation being by grace through faith and it not being of works. Look at John 3:14. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Go to John chapter 6. Actually, go to John 11. John 11. I'll read for you John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. John 6:47, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Look at John 11:25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Go in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 10. Acts 10. While you're going to Acts 10, I'll read for you John 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse number 43. It says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Look at Acts chapter number 13. No, keep noticing these verses. Whosoever believeth, 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 putting faith in Christ. Look at Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. While you're going to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to go to the next book, Romans chapter number 3. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 4:4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Go in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Galatians chapter 2 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all unto sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You're in 1 Timothy 1. I'll read for you Ephesians 2, 8, 9. The next book after that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7. So that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Saved people in the Bible are not always just called the saved. They're called believers. They're referred to as believers. People that believe in Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Go to Titus chapter 3. Next book in the Bible, or one of the next books in the Bible, Titus 3. Look at verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The Bible says that to be saved, it's simply by believing in Jesus Christ, by putting your faith in Christ. You can show somebody that all these verses, dozens and dozens of verses, it's by believing, it's by faith, it's by believing, it's by faith. And they just, it's hundreds of verses in multiple books of the Bible. Right. And then they say, what about James 2? What about James? Well, what about James chapter 2? This is the stupid thing about a lot of people and a lot of these false prophets and a lot of people that just ignorance of the unsaved. You got hundreds of verses that are saying one thing. You got one verse that appears, one passage that appears to say something different. They throw out hundreds of verses because of the one. Instead of saying, you know, there's hundreds of verses over here, I'm going to throw out the one because of the hundred. Now, we shouldn't throw out any of them. All Scripture is given by inspiration. The hundred are correct and the Word of God, and the one is the Word of God. But if there's a hundred that are clearly saying something and there's one that is saying something different, or it appears to be saying something different, then I'm pretty sure we can rest assured that we're just looking at the one a lot differently. Go back to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. So what about James chapter number 2? I'm going to show you the verses that they will use, neglecting the rest of the chapter, the rest of the book, and try to preach their works-based salvation. Look at James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Look at verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Look at verse 19. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Look at verse number 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. People only want to point out these specific verses, totally disregard the rest of the book of James, the rest of James chapter 2, the rest of the book of James, and the rest of the entire New Testament. Right. And they want to cling and hang on to their work salvation. And they want to not totally trust Christ. They want to trust in their own good works. And they use James chapter 2. This sermon is going to be teaching you what James chapter 2 is teaching. Now, go in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 49. Keep your fingers in James 2 because we're going to be going through the whole chapter. More of a Bible study, kind of like a Wednesday night. Now, to figure out what James 2 is saying, there's some ground rules that need to be laid to make it easier. Okay? Now, again, God is assuming that if you get to the book of James, you've already read Matthew all the way through the book of Hebrews. You've already read many, many books of the Bible. You get to this point, he knows you've already read scores of scriptures that say that salvation, going to heaven and hell, is by faith only. Now, one thing we need to understand is that the word saved and salvation aren't always talking about going to heaven and hell. A lot of times it has to do with judgment upon this earth, okay? Look at Genesis 49:18. This is Jacob look at this. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Now, Jacob was an old man getting ready to die when he said this. He said, I was waiting for thy salvation. What salvation was he talking about? There was a huge famine in the land. Joseph brought his entire family into Egypt. He physically saved them from starving to death. That's the salvation that God bring Jacob and his family. This isn't Jacob wasn't an old man when he finally got saved and he, you know, did enough good works to go to heaven or he believed in Jesus Christ. By this time, he's a very old man getting ready to die. This is when he was physically saved from a physical famine and he didn't physically die. Neither did his family, and they were brought. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. So we see right there the salvation that he's talking about is a physical salvation. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. This is when Hannah was given a baby. Right. The salvation that she got was from a barren womb. She was barren and she couldn't have kids. When she finally got pregnant, she said to the Lord, and she was rejoicing in the Lord because she of her salvation. It wasn't right then when Hannah, you know, that's when her deciding factor of her going to heaven and going to hell. She had to get pregnant before she could go to heaven. You know, that's ridiculous. Now go back in your Bibles to James chapter number 2. The word saved and the word salvation have multiple applications. When Peter was walking on the sea, and he looked down and he saw the winds were boisterous and he began to sink. He said, save me, O Lord, to Jesus Christ. That wasn't when he got saved and he went to heaven. And right at that point, he was physically wanted to be saved from drowning in the sea. Yeah, right. And he was physically saved by Jesus Christ and pulled into the boat. Now look at James chapter number 2, verse number 26. The Bible is teaching us here and in many other places that if we want the blessing from God, and we want to be saved from physical destruction, whether it's His wrath or it's just you reaping what you're sowing by doing wicked things and doing evil, you're going to reap what you sow. If you want to be saved from that, you have to do the works. Okay? James chapter 2 is about Christian living. After salvation, it's not talking about saved heaven and hell. It's talking about Christian living. Look at this. Number one is you have to realize saved and salvation don't always mean heaven and hell. Number two is you have to realize that it's possible to have faith without works. People will say it's impossible to have faith without works. And if you don't have works, then you don't have faith and you're going to hell. But look at James 2:26. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The Bible is talking about dead faith. Spirit, faith without works is dead. Jesus, if you have faith, you say, well, I believe the Bible, but you don't have works, your faith is dead. It means nothing. It's pointless. Hebrews chapter 6, go to in your Bibles to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about having dead works, having works with no faith. If you have works, but the works are not in the faith of Jesus Christ, believing the Bible, you're just doing good things because you're a nice person. The Bible says those are dead works. And if you have faith and you believe the Bible, and the Bible says you need to do this to be blessed, and you say, I believe that, but you don't do it, your faith is dead. Which means you're not going to gain anything by doing it. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 5 is a great example of somebody having dead faith as far as salvation and still going to heaven. The Bible says, but to him that worketh not, no works, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's talking about heaven and hell, Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And it's saying if you have dead faith, if you believe Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead, and you're trusting in Christ for your salvation, but you don't do any works, you're still going to heaven because that's what Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says. If that's a lie, then the rest of the Bible's a lie. Let's all pack it up, ship it in, and go home and do something else with our life. Now, look at Hebrews chapter number 10. So number 2, it's possible to have faith without works. Just like it's possible to have works without faith. People say, well, I have works, that means I have faith. No. It's possible to have dead works, which means works with no faith. say, well, it's impossible to have faith if you don't have the works. No, you can have faith and you can have no works. It's possible for both. Number three, it's after salvation. This is it. And you guys need to pay attention here. We already talked about the word saved and salvation. After salvation, you must do works to be saved, but not spiritually speaking, not heaven and hell. Let's put that aside. We're all the way in the book of James. If you're reading through the Bible and you're still trying to be convinced about what salvation, heaven and hell is, look, you got a problem. You need to go back to the beginning and start all over again. You've already gone through dozens of books of the Bible, and it's time for you to grow up and start living the Christian life and start getting some understanding, start having some ears to hear. What is talking about being saved? It's talking about being saved from punishment by God. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Perfect example. Not from hell, but from God's wrath upon your life on this earth. Look at verse 26. It says, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, notice the wording, and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, physical death. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Look at verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, look at this. This is how you know it's talking to believers and it's not talking about the world. The Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's saying that the Lord is going to judge his people. If you are a saved, if you are a believer and you are a Christian and you go off and you sin willfully, after that you receive the knowledge, you know something is wrong and you do it anyway. The Bible says that the punishment that God is bringing forth unto you is likened unto fiery indignation, which means he's smoking hot. He's angry, he's furious, he's going to cloud up and he's going to rain on your life physically. Just like in Moses' day, when they didn't do what Moses said, God just sent them all to hell, right? No, when he didn't do what Moses said, they physically died under two or three witnesses, the Bible says. Go to Hebrews chapter number 6. These are words that the Bible does use about heaven and hell, fire, indignation. But this is the thing. The Bible says that there comes a time in Hebrews chapter 5 when we need to grow up and start eating the meat and stop just drinking milk. We can't just be children and babes in Christ where we can read parts of the scripture and you have no comprehension. Everything is just about things like we learned when we were little. And it's just, fire? Well, that must be heaven and hell. No, you need to be able to read the Bible and discern the difference based upon the context. Now look at Hebrews chapter number 6. Now it's extremely obvious that these passages are written to save people, about saved people. Look at Hebrews 6 verse 7. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. So it's given us an example about the earth and the rain coming upon it. And if it brings forth herbs by whom it is dressed, it receives a blessing. So it's saying right there, the rain comes. If you bring forth herbs, which is a good thing, you're bringing forth fruit. The Bible says you're going to be blessed by God. Now look at the next verse. Verse 8. But he which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Look at the same wording. And is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now people get all hung up in Hebrews chapter 6 about the wording, about the burning, about the fiery indignation. Now go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And I've had a lot of people say, well, Pastor Romero, I heard your sermon on Hebrews 6, and I'm a little confused because it talks about thorns and briars and being burned. And now thorns and briars, they'll say, thorns and briars, that's false prophets. That's talking about false teachers and false converts. That is not talking about false teachers, false converts. Look up the term thorns. Look up the term briars. Never, not one time is it ever used as far as a false convert or a false teacher. Never. It's like you hear something so often, it just gets ingrained in your head where you think that's what it says. But if you look it up, that never says it even one time. This is the only time that it, look, I'm going to read for this for you. Look at Matthew chapter 13. When it talks about bearing thorns, what's the contrast in Hebrews 6? Bearing herbs, bearing fruit, right? Usable fruit. You can use herbs. You can't use briars. You can't use thorns. They're good for nothing, the Bible says. Look at Matthew 13. When it's talking about thorns, this is what it's talking about. Verse 22. And he also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. The Bible says that the seed that's amongst the thorns, when it bears thorns, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares, it's talking about bearing worldliness. Over here we have good fruit. We have herbs, meat for whom it is dressed. You're bearing good fruit. You're going to be blessed by God. Over here you have somebody bearing thorns and briars, which is bearing worldliness. Worldliness is not useful for anybody. It's like a thorn. It can only hurt you. Being a worldly Christian will never benefit and edify anybody else ever. Right. Thorns are nothing. You can't, if I gave you a big bag of thorns, the only thing you could do with it is hurt somebody. If I could give you a big bag of worldliness, all you could ever do with that is just hurt somebody. You can never help. You can never edify. And by having that, you can never be blessed by God. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. It says a couple more chapters away in the book of James. Now go back to James chapter number 2. The Bible is contrasting someone that gets saved and bears good fruit and one that gets saved and bears a bunch of worldliness. One is useful to God and the other one is absolutely useless. Now there's no middle ground with God. It said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. If you're bearing worldliness, you're scattering. You're on the enemy's team, whether you like it or not. And the Bible says, if you want, and you're going to receive a cursing after this life, no, on this life. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's what the Bible says. Punishment from God. Now go to James chapter 2, look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, forget everything you've ever learned and been taught about James 2. If I just read that to you, based upon pure by what it's saying right there, and I said, what doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? The honest answer would be no. Faith can't save him. Because we're not talking about going to heaven and hell. We're talking about wrath on this earth. Now, I'll give you a good example. Go in your Bible. You're in James chapter 2. Stay there for just a second. Again, it's not saying that works can save someone from hell. We're past that. Forget about heaven and hell. We're talking about on earth today, 2015, the ninth day of August. If you don't do works, you will not be saved from judgment and wrath on this earth. That's what the Bible's teaching here. Now, after salvation, we need no more to be afraid of going to hell. We're secure in Christ. We have eternal security. It's everlasting life. We're done with the hell part as far as the Christian life. I don't wake up every day wondering if I'm going to hell. Why? Because I'm already saved. I have eternal life. Amen. However, if you wake up and you start living for the world and you start bearing thorns and briars, the Bible says you should have a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. You should be afraid of what God will do to you if you live, if you bear worldliness, if you bear fruit. Now, look at verse number 10. 10 and number 11. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point is guilty of all. For he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. And if thou commit no adultery, and if thou kill, thou become a transgressor of the law. Not 10 and 12. Look at verse number 12. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed mercy, no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now what this is saying is that we are going to be judged by the word of God on this earth. If you want to decide, am I pleasing to God? Am I living a godly life? Am I doing right? As it's not based upon your feelings. It's not based upon your what you think and how you feel. Well, I did all this worldly stuff, but I feel like I'm okay. We need to base our Christian life by what the Bible says. And we're going to be judged on this earth by what the Bible says. Now, look at verse number 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Look at this. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. What God is teaching here in James chapter 2 is to back up your words with actions. Put your money where your mouth is. Go back to James chapter 1 real quick. Look at verse number... The whole book of James. That's what the whole entire thing is. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. It's about not just hearing, not just saying, but doing. If you could make a theme for the book of James, the theme would be do. Do works. Just do it. Look at James 2, or 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Go to James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Go. He's talking about with a conversation, let's show your works with meekness and wisdom. Talk about works. Go to chapter 4. Look at verse 17, famous verse. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to James chapter 5. Look at verse number 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into... It's saying, don't just say things. Do it. Don't say you're going to do something and not do it. Don't say you're going to go into such and such a city. The Bible says, he said a couple of verses before, go to now, ye that say that, and you will go in such and such a city. Don't say that you're going to do something. Just go ahead and do it. That's what the whole book of James is talking about. If you say you believe the Bible, then you need to do what the Bible says, or else stop saying it. Right. Because you're going to be judged by what you say. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Well, the Bible says if we say that we love Him and keep not His commandments, we're a liar and the truth is not in us, the Bible says. Now, go in your Bibles back to James chapter number 2. Look at verse 18. So it says that there, faith, even so faith, hath not works, is dead, being alone. If you believe the Bible and you don't have the works to back it up, it is dead because it is alone. Now, look at verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, people that say that they believe certain promises of the Bible, but never act out on those promises, therefore they never receive the blessing of God, and they end up being cursed via punishment from God. That's how it works out with God. It's blessings and cursings. You do what I tell you to do, and I'll bless you. You disobey and you don't do it, I'm going to curse you, I'm going to chastise you, and I'm going to punish you. In the next life? No, in this life, the Bible teaches. Look at verse number 19. Now, these never receive any blessing, neither do they profit anybody. It's talking about profiting other people, profiting yourself, profiting God. Look at verse 19. This is a perfect example. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe like we do that there's one God. They believe, but this is the difference between us and the devils, is they're in rebellion against God. Right. And they're physically going to receive destruction from God. That's what that is teaching. Look at verse 20. But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. It's saying even the devils tremble at the judgment of God. There are people on this earth that they fear God. And they say, you know, I'm afraid if I go into sin that God's going to... I know I'm... The people that say, I'm living in sin. I'm living in total sin. I'm a drunkard. I'm this and I'm that. And they know they're saved. And they know that God is going to punish them for what they're doing, but they do it anyway. The Bible likens us to His children. Just like our children, sometimes they know if they do something and they get caught, they're going to be punished for it. But they do it anyway. To them, in their head, they're thinking it's worth the punishment. I'm going to go and steal all these cookies and eat them all. And if I get a spanking, it's all good. You know what I mean? It's worth it. The spanking only lasts a little while. The cookies will last a lifetime. You know, that's what they think, but that's not the truth. Now, look at verse number 21. God says three times this about faith being faith without works being. It says it three times. Do you know why? He's trying to get you to stop being such a dead Christian by not doing anything. Christians that have the faith, they believe the Bible. When the Bible says that if you do this, He'll bless you, say, I believe that, but they don't do it. God says, that's not enough. You got to do it. Because if you don't do it, I'm going to spank you. That's what the Bible's saying. Look at verse 21. Now He's going to give us some examples of people in the Bible that believed what He said, and they also did what He said, and they received a physical blessing on this earth from God. Look at verse number 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac a son upon the altar? See thou that how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now in verse 22 it says that when Abraham added works to his faith, the Bible says that his faith was made perfect. Now look at James chapter 4, or James chapter 1, verse 4. Now it says that his faith, his Christian life, his Christianity was perfect now. Now I'll read for you 1 Corinthians 13:10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. It won't be in part no more. It'll be perfect. It'll be entire. Look at James 1:4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Abraham was solid. He lacked nothing. He believed the promise that God gave him. He acted out on that promise and did what God said. And the Bible says that his faith, his Christianity, was made perfect. He was a perfect Christian, like Job. He was perfect. He feared God, and he eschewed evil. Right. He did them both. He didn't just fear God. The Bible says he also eschewed evil. It talks about him praying. And because he did that, the Bible says that God placed a hedge of protection around him. Remember when he said to Satan, God said to Satan, have you considered? He was such a good man that God, it was like a trophy to God. He says to the devil, he says, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. He was so happy. He was so pleased with Job. He pretty much, he said to Satan, look at how good this guy is. He said, and he said, well, I can't do anything to you because you've placed a hedge of protection. You've blessed Job. He had wealth. He had riches. He had tons of children. Not only that, he had protection from God. Why? Just because he believed God? No, because he believed God. But he also did works. He also eschewed evil. If he wouldn't have eschewed evil, he would have ended up like Lot did, like I talked about this morning. Yeah, he got saved out of Sodom, and then he was molested by his two daughters, and he had two grandbabies born out of incest. Because he may have believed God, the Bible says he was a righteous man, but he did not do the works, and based upon that fact, he did not have that hedge of protection like Abraham did pretty much his whole life. If we want to live a perfect and complete Christian life, we must do the works to accompany our spiritual salvation to get a physical salvation on this earth. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. The Christian life isn't just being saved and now you're done. Done. The Christian life is about getting saved and then having a fruitful life, bearing things that are profitable. In this chapter, it talks about profiting somebody else, profiting God, profiting other people, profiting ourselves. I preached last week about being a profitable Christian. The Bible says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. God gets no glory. You're not profiting God at all by not doing the works. The people we get saved that never come to church, that never do nothing for God, they are not profitable. They are not glorifying God. And when bad things start happening in their life, it's because they're in disobedience to God. Now look at Hebrews chapter 6. Now, this is not talking about when Abraham was spiritually saved, about Abraham and being, faith with his works was made perfect. It was his seed that was saved because of the promise. Now, through his seed would come spiritual salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's when he received the blessing from God, when he did the work of offering Isaac, his son, up upon the altar. If Abraham would have refused to obey God when God told him to sacrifice, Abraham would have, he would have went to heaven when he died, but his seed would have not lived on. He would not been the father of faith. He would have not been that guy. It would have been another person we'd be reading about in the Bible that was a great father of faith that did, and we would be called the children of Abraham, Galatians 3. We'd be called the children of somebody else. Just like somebody last night was preaching about how God was going to get rid of the whole nation. And he's going to start all over with Moses. And Moses talked him out of it and said, let us just give us another chance. And he ended up killing a bunch of people. But that's what it's talking about. He would have done away with Abraham. Because it was always a choice by Abraham. Now, Abraham still would have went to heaven, but Abraham would have not received the blessing because he didn't profit anybody. He didn't glorify God. He was not. Now look at Hebrews 6, verse 12. But that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Does it say inherit heaven? No, it says inherit the promises. For when God made the promise unto Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Go over to chapter number 11, Hebrews 11. It says that God said, I will bless thee, and I will multiply thee. And he believed it, and it says that he patiently endured. And so, by doing so, he obtained the promise. What promise? The promise of the blessing that is talked about in verse number 14. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Right here the Bible saying that when Abraham offered up Isaac, he believed that God would bless him if he did what God said, so he did what he had to do to get the blessing. And it said that he believed that he would raise Isaac up from the dead. He knew he was acting out the gospel. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that he preached the gospel before unto Abraham. And Abraham knew the promises. He knew what the scripture said. He knew what God told him. He believed it. And he knew that if he killed Isaac, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, he did it knowing that if he did it, God would raise him up from the dead. That's why he did it. Now, go to Romans chapter 4. People say, no, this is when... To say that right here is talking about heaven and hell salvation, then that what it's saying, what they're saying, is that Abraham had to be willing to sacrifice his child. Hey, settle down, Silas. Had to sacrifice his child to go to heaven. Can you imagine that? A man having to be willing to kill his own child to go to heaven. No, you don't have to kill your child to go to heaven. God let his son, the Bible says that it pleased God to bruise him. Yeah. He laid down, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. You don't have to give your only begotten son. He gave his, he already did it. Right. All we got to do is just believe it. If we believe it, then the Bible says we're saved, heaven and hell. Afterward, if we don't do the works, we're not going to, now, you say, why was it such a big work? Why do you have to kill his own son? Well, think about this. It was a pretty big blessing. The Bible said, in thee all nations of the earth shall be blessed, he told Abraham. He was told that the Messiah of the entire world would come from his lineage. That's huge. Big blessing, big work. Right. Little blessing, little work. Just like if you have, I don't know if you know if anybody gives their kids like an allowance. But if you're going to pay your kid a dollar, he's going to do a dollar worth of a job. You're going to go out there and do something. But let's say the kid wants to earn 20 or 30 bucks, which for a little kid is quite a bit. You're going to earn 30 bucks, you're going to have to do an awful lot. It's more than just washing the car. You know what I mean? It's doing a bunch of, big blessing, big work. Huge blessing, the progenitor of Jesus Christ. You better be willing to offer up your only begotten son, Abraham. If not, I'm going to find someone else to do it. And he did it because he accounted that God was going to raise him from the dead. Now, Romans 4 tells us when Abraham was spiritually saved about going to heaven and hell. Look at verse number 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, that through, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk by the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he had, yet being uncircumcised. The Bible says that he was saved before he was circumcised. Does anybody know how old Abraham was when he got circumcised? He was 99. Isaac was way after that. Oh, way after that. Ishmael was born and he had Ishmael and all of his peep household circumcised. Way after that, Isaac was even born. Much less when he was old enough to carry the wood up the hill and be sacrificed. So that wasn't when Abraham spiritually got saved, heaven and hell. That was when Abraham received the blessing of God. Abraham was spiritually saved, heaven and hell, by faith, by believing, before he was even circumcised. Now, go back to James chapter 2. Genesis 19 is where Abraham was commanded to get circumcised. Genesis 17 says that Abraham was 99 years old when he got circumcised. Isaac was way after that. Now look at verse number 21. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up his only son on the altar? Seeing that how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. To say that Abraham being justified, now I've heard this before too. He'll say, well, James chapter 2 is where you want to be justified before man. You say, well, you want to be justified before man. That doesn't make any sense either, because the only illustration that he gives is Isaac, is offering up Isaac. When he offered up Isaac, who was there? It was just him and Isaac. He told the guys at the bottom of the hill, he said, the lad and I will go yonder and we will return again. As far as they were concerned, they went up and they came down. They probably had no clue what was getting ready to happen. And when they came walking down, they probably had no clue what had already happened. As far as they were concerned, they went up, did their offering, their little worship, and they walked back down. So to say that Abraham was justified before men doesn't make any sense either, because there was nobody else there to justify himself to. He was justified before God. Not heaven and hell, but he was justified before God as far as receiving the blessing. God looked at him and said, I'm going to impute my blessing upon you because you've done what I said. If you look at Hebrews chapter number 11, go to Hebrews 11. And we'll go to this verse and then another verse at the very end of James chapter 2. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at every single person in Hebrews 11 and what they're being said that they did that was so righteous by faith. None of it was about when they got saved, heaven or hell. All of it was about when they heard that God was bringing physical destruction. They did, look at, where's it at here? Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. They all go into heaven because he built the ark, right? No. They all didn't drown in the water because he built the ark. Look at verse number 11. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Just like Hannah, what was her salvation? The barren womb was opened up and she received a baby. The same exact salvation for Sarah. Look at verse number 17, actually talks about Abraham. Now look at verse number 29. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both of his sons, Joseph, the sons of Joseph, in worship, leaning on the top of his staff, And by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You say, what does that have to do with anything? He told them, when you leave, when you depart, bury my bones in another place. Knowing because God said that they were going to depart. They weren't always going to live in Egypt. They were not. They would inherit a promised land.
Yeah.
And he believed that. And so when he died, he said, hey, when we leave, when you guys leave, take my bones with you. That's what he's talking about. Now go back, go to the next one right here. Look at verse number 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he hath respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, when he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, he endured. Again, look at the enduring. As seeing him who is invisible through faith, he kept the Passover. So this is jumps forward to when he's already past the Red Sea. He's already in the wilderness, keeping the, or this is before that, he's in Egypt, giving the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, lest he destroy the firstborn and should touch them. So right here, this is when they're in Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. Does this prevent anybody from going to heaven and hell? No. It's kept them from a physical destruction. If they put the blood on the doorpost, their firstborn wouldn't be physically killed. Now, what if their firstborn's a baby? He goes right to heaven. I mean, that's what the Bible says. So it couldn't be talking about heaven or hell. Go back to 31, and this is actually talking about, while you're going to, look at verse 31 in Hebrews 11. I'll read for you James 2:25. It also brings up Rahab the harlot. James 2:25, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body with the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is when Rahab believed God's word about the coming destruction, the physical destruction of Jericho, and she was justified and saved from punishment, her and all her household, just like Noah. Not just him, but everybody in his household was saved from physical destruction because she did. Now look at verse number 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Believe not what? That God was going to overthrow the city. When she received the spies with peace. What shall I say more? The time would fail me to have Gideon and Barak and all this other type of stuff. That's what it's talking about in James chapter 2. It's talking about being saved on this earth from a destruction. Physical destruction. Look, if you get away from God as a Christian, the Bible says that if you're saved, that chastisement is coming. The Bible says if you're not saved, it says in Hebrews 12, then are ye bastards and not sons. But the Lord loveth and chasteneth every son whom he receiveth, the Bible says. But also with that is the blessing from God. If you believe it and you do what the Bible says to get the blessing, that's... What if God in the Bible said, if you put, or what if somebody said, I'm going to go down your neighborhood, and if you put a sign in front of your house that has our company logo, somebody's going to walk up and give you $20. And they gave you the sign and said, tomorrow on Monday morning, if you put this sign up and we drive down your neighborhood and we see the sign in your door, in your yard, we're going to have somebody walk up and hand you a $20 bill. There will be people that don't believe it, and they won't do it. Over here, there will be people right here that believe it and say, yeah, I believe that. I don't need the $20. I don't want to do it. And there's going to be people right here that say, I could use $20. I'm going to do that. And they put the sign in the yard and they receive the $20. That's what it's like with God. He says, I'll give you a blessing if you do what I tell you to do. Some people say, I don't believe it.
Right.
Some people say, you know what? I believe that. I'm just not going to do it because I'm rebellious and disobedient to God. And there's going to be people that say, you know what? I believe that. I want the blessing.
Yes.
Just like Caleb said, I want that mountain.
Yes.
And they're going to get the blessing from God. That's what James 2 is talking about.
Right.
It's not talking about heaven and hell. It's talking about physical punishment and the Christian life. The whole book is talking about that. It ends, look at there's one last place, James 1. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What is religion? It's the practice of what you believe.
Right.
That's what religion is. You say, what's your religion? My religion's Christianity. But you cuss like a sailor, you never go to church, you never nice to nobody. Well, your religion's in vain. I can't see that you're a Christian because you live like the world. That's what he's talking about. That's what the whole book of James is talking about. It's very clear. Don't let anybody try to sway and stagger your faith in what the rest of the Bible says based upon one portion of Scripture. Because let me tell you this. The whole Bible, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable and it's all useful. And James chapter 2 is useful for living the Christian life after salvation.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Word of God. And I just want to just thank you, Lord, for our eternal salvation and eternal life and saving us, Lord. Once forever, Lord, and dying for us one time, Lord, saving us one time. And I just want to pray, Lord, that you help us all to live the Christian life, Lord. Help us to be unspotted from the world. Help us to help helpless people. And help us also, Lord, to just do what we say if we say it. And if we don't say it, just do what's right anyway. In Jesus' name, amen.